Welcome, patrons, to our review of Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol.
Who are you really, Brent?
We all have our secrets. Don't we, Ethan?
Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol, released in 2011, starring Tom Cruise, Paula Patton, Simon Pegg, Jeremy Renner, Michael Nyquist? I think it's Nyquist.
I don't think it matters.
Anil Kapoor, Lea Seydoux, Josh Holloway, with some uncredited cameos from Tom Wilkinson and Mr. Ving Rhames.
Did you say Anil Kapoor?
Yes.
Good.
What did you think I said? What did you want me to say?
I just wasn't sure if you said him.
I said Anil.
Good. It's not anal, Hendo.
I never said that. Sounded like you thought it was.
You're giving me the
did
anal...
Did you say Anil Kapoor?
You're giving me the usual anal look you always give me.
God. So this was written by Josh Applebaum and Andre Nemec. Music by Michael Giacchino. Do you know this name yet, Dean?
He's done music on other films.
Yes. Can you name one?
It was in the PVPVPVP, wasn't it?
True.
Yeah. No.
You've already forgotten Mission Impossible 3, have you?
Mission Impossible 3. Did he do anything else?
He did Incredibles 1 and 2.
Anything else?
Ratatouille, Up, Inside Out, Jurassic World, Dawn for the Planet of the Apes, so Rise for the Planet of the
nothing
Apes.
Nothing of note.
Spider-Man
then.
Homecoming. Very big composer.
Okay.
Cinematography by Robert Elswit. Academy Award winner, Robert Elswit.
Do you know who did the cello for the theme, though?
That would be Dermot Mulroney.
Damn it.
Yeah, that's right. I do my research. But Academy Award winner, Robert Elswit. Do you know what he won for?
No.
He won for There Will Be Blood.
Nice. Can't argue with that.
He also was the cinematographer for Hard Eight, Boogie Nights, Magnolia, Inherent Vice, Punch Drunk Love. You sense a theme here?
Wes Anderson movies?
Oh, God. Unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, no Master or Phantom Thread.
Oh, I'm glad he didn't touch Phantom Thread. Got to give that one to Johnny Greenwood, don't we, Hendo?
Johnny Greenwood, the cinematographer.
Damn it, I thought we were still talking about scores.
No, but this is directed by Brad Bird, his first live-action film. Do you know what else he directed, Dean? I'll put you out of your misery. He did direct Incredibles 1 and 2, Ratatouille.
Did some Simpsons work as well.
I believe he did. He also did The Iron Giant as well.
Hmm.
So this was originally targeted for a mid-May 2011 release with J.J. Abrams coming back to direct. What do you think of that?
I'm glad it was Brad Bird. I'm glad they changed directors.
Yeah, well, there was some pre-production delays and script rewrites.
Yeah, well, J.J. wrote some of the script. And when he got Brad Bird signed on to direct, Brad Bird was, you know, saying, show me the script. And he was just like, listen, we've kind of got an outline, but you can do what you want with it.
Yeah. He definitely gave him a bit of freedom to, yeah.
Which is fair enough. Like, Brad Bird is a proven winner, I guess you'd say.
Yeah, J.J. Abrams was busy working on Super 8 as well. Have you seen Super 8?
No.
No, I haven't either. He had to step out of directing, but he did stay on as a producer, obviously. Edgar Wright was also considered for the directing role here.
How do you think he'd go with a Mission Impossible movie?
I don't know.
I'm not sure it's his style.
It'd have to be a very heavy comedic action Mission Impossible style film, wouldn't it? I don't know if I'd like that. I don't know.
I mean, John Woo's pretty funny.
That's unironically funny. But Edgar Wright did have to step out because he was still busy doing post-production on Scott Pilgrim vs. the World. So that's when they got Brad Bird in because they picked him because of his work on Incredibles, which is very much a spy kind of film. They reckon he'd fit the role quite well.
Talk about Super 8. Jeremy Renner was actually offered the role of Jackson Lamb in the movie Super 8, which eventually went to Kyle Chandler, but took the role in this film when JJ told him that Tom Cruise and Brad Bird wanted him specifically, and it was always a dream of his to work with Tom Cruise. So another connection to Super 8 there.
Yeah, he also said that Tom Cruise wasn't just a great actor, but he's even more of a nicer guy. Like, he's just one of the best nice guys out there.
Just a nice guy.
Old Tom Cruise. They also considered Anthony Mackie, Chris Pine, and even Tom Hardy for Brant. Any of those fit?
Chris Pine could be okay.
Yeah, I don't see Tom Hardy as the subordinate to Tom Cruise.
I don't see that either.
No.
Mackie, I'm not sure he has the physical presence. We've already seen him try to be intimidating in The Hate U Give. Was it that movie?
Yes, it was.
Nice.
Yeah, he didn't fit that role.
No, he didn't. So, no, I wouldn't get on board with that. But, you know, like, Brandt and Jeremy Renner was being basically introduced into this movie to take over from Cruise when Cruise left the franchise.
And look what happened. Cruise is still gone and they shipped Brandt out of the franchise.
I'm glad they did.
Yeah, because they did this with Renner and the Bourne movies as well. He's the new Bourne now with the Bourne Legacy. And that went to shit, so nah, see you later, you're done.
I'm not sure why Jeremy Renner was the fix-it guy for a while there, because it didn't work.
It didn't. They sent him off in Bourne. They sent him out of Mission Impossible. They sent him out of the Avengers for a movie or two.
That wasn't his fault.
We're doing Infinity War. We're getting everyone in this movie except you, mate. Sorry. Yeah.
There's the door.
So this is Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol, the first film to have the subtitle of Mission Impossible, Mission Impossible 2, and then Mission Impossible 3. And Tom Cruise really wanted each film to have its own subtitle because he treats each of these movies as not as sequels, but as just little mini spy movies.
I doubt Cruise would be calling them mini anything.
It's true. I must have worded that wrong.
You must have.
But this did premiere on the 11th of December in 2011 with a tagline of no plan, no backup, no choice. How do you rate that tagline?
Terrible. No plan. They have a plan. They just don't have a lot of time. No backup. They have a bloody crate, a room with every single thing they need and a team of 4 super trained spies. Like, I know they mentioned once, oh, well, I can't do it because I don't have my guy back at IMF with the proper satellite. I was like, get the fuck out of here. No way. No way. You had everything you needed. What was the other one?
No choice. They don't have a choice here. They have to do this.
Well, that's fair. They do have to do it.
This has a runtime of 132 minutes. Is this the longest Mission Impossible so far?
Could be.
Maybe MI2 was longer?
Ooh.
Felt longer.
Oh, MI2?
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't be... No, I like MI2.
I know you know. I know you like that film.
You like that film, don't you?
No, I don't.
Oh,
how quickly you forget. But this did have a budget of $145 million. And in America, it grossed $209 million for seventh for the year. And worldwide, grossed $695 million for fifth for the year.
And Tom Cruise's highest grossing film to that point.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. This is a big franchise.
I wasn't asking.
Well, what was his one before that? Do you know? Maybe War of the Worlds?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
War of the Worlds.
Fantastic. Still haven't seen that.
I mean, you probably know enough anyway.
No, I know very little. I think I've seen a scene where they're all running down the road and everyone's getting evaporated.
I mean, that's the best scene. So.
Oh, well, then I've seen enough then.
You've seen enough.
So how's this for a little record, a bit of trivia? In its 425 theatre opening weekend, it grossed $13 million, setting the record of the highest grossing opening weekend in less than 600 theatres, previously held by Bridget Jones' The Edge of Reason. Isn't that a weird little fact? Very specific.
Almost forgettable.
I've already forgotten it.
I forgot what you were saying halfway through.
You do that all the time, though. It's nothing special. But this does have an average of 7.4 over 432,000 ratings.
So definitely a step up from the old 6.9 that Mission Impossible 3 was sitting at.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, from what I've seen and heard, this is the Mission Impossible film that I see is like everyone's number one. Most people's number one. This is the one they put at the top.
Even after Fallout?
Still, everyone's seeing Ghost Protocol, like revamp the franchise. This is the one.
I mean, I think there is a shift between 3 and 4.
Oh, you can clearly see that with the tone of 3 and how sort of dark it is compared to the very, very comedic tones that this film does portray.
Yeah.
But let's find out if it's our number one Mission Impossible film, Dean.
Let's.
Let's do it, mate.
Budapest.
Yeah, what do you think of this, like, cold open here with Sawyer.
Josh Holloway.
This would have been about the time that Lost was sort of fading out, wasn't it? 2011?
Shit, I don't know. I didn't watch it live.
Oh, didn't you? I think I watched the first couple seasons live. Where did it go? What did Lost do? 6 seasons?
Five or six.
I think it might have actually been done by now. Okay. And he wasn't picking up much work after Lost.
I mean, he's really great in Lost, but yeah, he's just suffered. He's obviously had not much of a career after that, and mm-hmm. I hope he got suitably reimbursed on his time of Lost and invested it well.
Hopefully. But he's here, and you think he's going to be in it for a while.
What'd you make of this cushion thing?
Interesting.
I didn't like it. I was like, oh, what?
He seems to put a lot of faith in that thing opening.
Like, yeah, it was very, very odd. I liked his death scene. I liked that he looks at his phone, and it's the alert that this assassin looks like this, and it's just bang, 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 bang.
Not enough time.
No, it was good.
Yep, and he's out.
And he's out. I must say, I liked that they went back to that scene.
Yeah, you need to see the whole story there.
That was so quick. It was just like, oh, shit, what's going on here?
But we end up in the prison. What'd you think of Ethan throwing this rock so meticulously that it ricocheted every single time.
I mean, it was a very dark room. I didn't even realize it was a rock until he brought it back in the wall. I thought it was a ball.
Even still, is he that much of an awesome superhero badass that he can just throw it and it every single time goes straight back to his hand? It ricochets off two walls.
Yeah, I mean, it's he is a superhero at this point.
I think this one little scene here is setting up where Ethan Hunt is going now. This is a unstoppable superhero spy now.
He can beat up anyone at any point. He can go through huge, you know, rioting crowds like it's nothing.
Yeah. And I think that is a very big shift from the Ethan Hunt of Mission Impossible 3, the family man who's trying to save his wife. Now he's superhero Ethan Hunt.
Yeah.
To be fair, he was superhero Ethan Hunt in Mission Impossible 2 as well.
He definitely.
When he's leaping off motorbikes and kicking up guns that don't really make any sense.
Yeah. There's a big difference between this and the last one. The face masks, which were so prominent in number 3.
There's none of them here.
Oh, there's one, but barely used at all.
Oh, we'll get to that face mask eventually. But even they had the face mask machine and it breaks.
And I like they had it.
Yeah.
It would have been weird if this movie, when we've had face masks in the last 3, and especially number 3, where it was all the time, and this one to have none, it'd be like, what? It's such a key Mission Impossible thing. So it's good that it broke.
You even get Benji later on, he's like, I just wish we could wear masks. I just wanted to wear a mask.
Yeah.
Which he gets to do in the 5th one. But yeah, they're trying to break out Ethan here. You got Benji and Agent Carter.
Whose name I forgot as soon as I wrote it down, and she was forever Paula Patton in my notes.
That's true. They break him out. What do you think of this whole prison breakout scene?
Is okay.
Yeah, I don't mind it. I found it funny where he's, you know, he's looking at the cameras like,
yeah, that bit was good where he's looking at Benji and Benji's like, nah, I'm not doing it. Yeah. I'm not doing it. So shakes the fist. All right.
Even when he's standing there waiting for the door to open, the guards look at him and he's like, well, you know, what are you going to do? Yeah. He knows he's in full control here.
Yeah. And it's good that did come back. Like, it's not exactly a surprise it came back, but it would have been super weird if that never came back. Like, we spent all this time him going through the prison.
Oh, to get bug gun.
Why'd you do it? Oh, he helped me in there.
He would have died if I left him.
Yeah. Yeah, we get it. You're a good guy. But Benji passed the field exam, so he's in the field now.
That's right.
A welcome addition.
But before that,
we get taking Ving Rhames' spot.
We get the fuse light. The first time that the actual fuse is lit.
I actually like that.
Yeah.
Basically,
light the fuse.
Winks to the camera.
Yes.
Light the fuse.
Music starts. And we get a couple of brief shots of the movie that's going
to
happen.
I didn't like it, to be honest.
It was weird in this one.
Because I'd already seen this movie and I didn't remember what scenes were in what movie,
yeah.
I was like, oh, that's here, that's here, that's here. It sort of took away the enjoyment of remembering it as it happened in the movie for me.
Oh, fair enough. But yeah, they're driving along. They extract Bogdan. Sergei, are you not Sergei?
Are you not Russian?
I didn't mind that. I thought that was funny.
Okay.
I don't mind that character at this point. He has no idea what's going on. That's your response, is it?
I was quoting him. he was kind of annoying, to be honest.
Nah, he was all right. He just confused. He has no idea what's going on.
Thrown out the truck. Cool. Yep. See you later.
Moving on. This is where we get the retelling, yeah.
Yeah. And we get that cool eye technology that does come back later, where it's scanning, that sort of lens on his eye is scanning everyone. And, you know, I thought that was good. Good spy tech that we hadn't seen before.
What about the little ring with the poison in it, or the sleeping powder, whatever it was?
Yeah, it was
good. That was good. But same thing happens. He doesn't live through this one.
No, and we learn that Paula Patton has some sort of past with him.
Yeah.
She's very emotional.
It's all personal for her with, you know, the assassin. Moreau, I believe her name is.
Lea Seydoux.
Yeah, Lea Seydoux. Where do you know her from?
Blue is the Warmest Colour.
I knew you were going to say that. I know her from Spectre.
You know her from Blue is the Warmest
Colour. No, I don't.
Too. Fuck off.
I haven't seen that movie.
Neither have I. Okay, but we do learn what this whole movie is going to be about. Russian nuclear launch codes.
I got to say, the worst part of this film is this villain and this plot. It is so generic bad guy. No idea who about this guy, his name, anything.
I still don't know his name.
He's easily the worst villain in all 6 films.
He's shocking.
And this is what drags this film down, is this generic villain plot with this completely forgettable bad guy. He doesn't have any ties to anyone. He is just this,
it's the first time that this guy isn't an ex-IMF agent.
And then after this, you get the Sean, I forgot his name, but I know.
The good one.
Yeah, the good one, yeah.
He's in 2 movies, he's good.
But this guy, he's plot is, I want to blow up the world. But really, wow, you got a lot of substance to you, mate. Good character development.
Yeah.
Could not care less about this guy.
It's terrible.
Yeah, easily the worst thing about this one. And this is what really drops the film down for me, is this is terrible villain.
I would agree 100%. Yep. 100% what you're saying.
Cool.
And it does drop it, because there are some great scenes in this film.
Yep.
But again, this movie's not perfect. So we get Ethan getting his mission from the public phone. I must admit, I chuckled when it didn't self-detonate.
Yeah.
He sort of stops, had to go back and give it the old bang, just in case anyone with Ethan's irises and knowledge and code.
Yes.
Obviously knew to get in there.
I mean, it's all, you know, far-fetched now, but how many of these mission machines do they have around the world? Like, we've had one in a random payphone in Russia. We had a random, like we had a disposable camera in Mission Impossible 3.
Yep.
Like, all these high-tech just get some email. Get a letter sent to you, would you? It'll self-destruct when you set fire to it. Yep, this will self-destruct when you put it to a fire.
Okay. We actually hear here about what's happened to Ethan's wife, Jules.
Supposedly.
Yeah, supposedly. And I must say, a bit of the intrigue was lost, having seen the next two movies where she's in.
Well, she's in this too.
Yeah, she is. Is she in Rogue Nation?
Ooh, I don't think so.
Okay, fair enough. But, you know, we hear that Ethan did an unsanctioned hit, which is why he was in prison, all this. I mean, really, is anyone buying that anything Ethan did was anything possibly
deliberate?
Negative?
It's all deliberate. What he
like, everything Ethan does is for the good of
the world. Yeah, he has a plan with everything he does.
So, but they've got 4 hours and something to
break into the Kremlin.
The Kremlin.
I thought you said the Kremlin.
That was funny.
I thought you said the Kremlin.
That was funny. Simon Pegg is so... He's one of these people who's just effortlessly funny. Like, yeah, he can say lines that will be funny when he says it only. And anyone else saying that would be like, all right.
Like, he's the comic relief of this movie, but he plays the part out in the field as well. Like, he does well on the team.
Yeah.
You don't agree?
No, I do. It's just, I was thinking about how he's just taken Luther's spot. And it's good that they can get to a point where the team can have both of them on it. Because they are both fantastic.
True. Yeah. But yeah, they break into the Kremlin here to, this is what they're doing. They're going to get documents on who this guy is. They need to find out who this Cobalt is.
Yes.
That's what they're doing. Okay, fair enough. Okay, you need to find out who this guy is. Because apparently he now has he could have the nuke codes.
Yeah.
I'm trying to follow along with this thing I don't care about.
Yeah, it's, I mean, what he should have done is just drawn a stick figure on his hand and sort of showed a few people, and I'm sure they'd work it out.
He does that eventually.
We'll get to that. Okay, so what do we like about this? I thought it was a really good scene. I liked that Cruz just had some, you know, old man Russian makeup on, and
yeah,
this whole thing with the huge sheet.
I love that.
It's really good. And the sound throwing of the drop of water.
Man, and Simon Pegg, when he completely just spaces out and stands up, and his big mug is on that thing.
Yeah, it's funny, it's tense, it's well handled. A really, really good scene.
Apparently they were supposed to have that go longer, with the guard actually getting even closer to it.
Yeah.
But I think Brad Bird said, no, there's no way that anyone will believe that he would not be able to notice that is a big sheet when he gets even closer to it.
Yeah, but someone, this bad guy, he piggybacks not only the Kremlin's frequency, but the spy frequency as well.
Now, help me out here. Did he mean to do this?
What?
Is he
of course.
Is he setting these people up?
Yes.
How did he know they were going to be there?
I don't know.
I'm the same. Like, I don't know if this guy just magically knows that they're there at that time and sets them up, like picks up their frequency and gets them framed for this, or he's just an idiot.
No. He's not an idiot. He deliberately is setting these people up. I just think that was probably said when Ethan went to the payphone. I think that exposition dump said that he knew that they were after it because he's rushing to get there as well. Because he was rushing to get the file as well because he knew that someone else, like the Americans, were going there to get it as well. He just got very lucky that at the same time he was getting it was the exact same time that the Americans were there.
Yeah. I don't know. This guy...
Don't overthink
it. This guy's shit. I did like how Ethan Hunt was leaving and just a quick change and he's just in like casual
the
tourist.
Change is great.
It's amazing. Flip the coat around.
Yeah. And we see it all. Like, it's not like...
Yeah, it's done instantly.
Yeah, it's really... It's not a quick cut or anything. Like, it's a really good... Really good change. And then we get him running.
Loves a run.
The camera gets blasted again.
Mate, there's more running to come.
There's heaps of running.
Good running. Yep. The Kremlin blows up and it's like a smash cut. He's in the hospital.
Yeah. And we get this stupid cop.
In my notes, he is Russian cop.
He's really
Did annoying. He get a name?
No, I don't. Russian cop.
Yeah, that's who he is.
He's really annoying.
Yeah, I didn't like this whole extra thing with this cop chasing him down. I mean, I know they need him at the end to prove that so they become innocent again. Yeah. Like, yeah. And that's what they need.
They need an authority figure to say, tick.
Yes, you're not they guilty. Are the good guys.
Yeah. But it was a bit of stuffing around just to get to that point. And obviously they need to keep bringing him in.
Yeah.
He follows him everywhere. It's like, ugh.
What about when he escapes the hospital?
This bit on the ledge was good where the cop's like just casually looking out like,
yeah, what are you going to do?
What are you doing?
Lights up a cigarette, like, you're going to jump? And he's like, oh, that was a good idea at the time. But very convenient that the van's driving across at the same time.
Yeah, equally convenient that there was a nice little cable there for Ethan to slide down.
I completely forgot that he actually leaps off the building before he attaches the belt to the wire. I thought, from my memory, that he puts the belt around the wire before he steps off. But no, he leaps off the building and then as he's in midair, whips that belt around the wire. You nutcase.
Ah, well. But Tom Wilkinson.
Yes, I thought it was him.
Secretary.
Yes.
It's good. Jeremy Renner, looking pretty useless. And this is where we get this. he's a Russian old guy. Here's a smiley face on my hand. Oh, that must be Cobalt.
Well, to be fair, Brand says, well, crude drawing aside from what you've described of
that
him.
That doesn't make it okay.
he's an analyst. He knows these people.
Oh, get
I think he knew based off what Tom Cruise said to him. Not about the picture. But Hunter's that much of a badass that he can do a quick drawing and it's like
I actually did perfect. I did like the play between Hunt and the secretary here where you realize the secretary is actually going to let him go. He's telling him how to, you know, break out of this van. And I'd forgotten what was coming.
But I loved how when he said, your team is going to be disavowed, I'm taking you back, and you get the quick shot of Hunt eyeballing the gun.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, is he going to do it? It's like, but let's say you escape here and you attack me and Bran. And Bran's like, what? It's like, don't attack me.
Yeah, but I was thinking that was going to happen.
Oh, did you forget about the whole explosion?
Yes.
Wow.
That was awesome.
Yeah, that's
great.
That bit
was awesome. Like, then, real great bait and switch. Like, here's what's going to happen. Let's go this way.
It's shot in the head. Like, Jesus. Like,
yep. Didn't remember that.
What about when they're under the water and they use the flare diversion?
This is so stupid. And it's stupid because of Brant's reaction after, where he's like, oh, can you talk me through that? Why? How did you know the guys were going to shoot? Like, what? They're shooting at anything.
I think he's putting that on because he's playing. Because at this point, he's a field agent. He knows about this stuff, but he's now this analyst and he wants to try and keep that to himself to Hunt. So he plays up this whole analyst portion to make it seem like he has no idea what's going on.
I don't know. I felt it was a bit stupid.
What about this old train? See, all these places, they have trains and phone booths and everything. They're just them. It's all for them.
Even when they get into the train carriage and they walk into Simon Pegg and Paula Patton, guns pointed at them. Who'd they think it was going to be?
Oh, I thought you were dead. Not Ethan Hunt.
I thought I was the team leader.
But here we get another, I guess, exposition dump here where you watch this bad guy doing his bad guy speech, something about nuclear war snore.
Yep, war snore.
But Hunt here, he's on the phone. He's talking to someone about, can you get into Dubai? Now, I don't know if you thought this, but it is heavily implied throughout this film that it's actually Max from the first movie. Did you get any of this?
No.
The big thing...
I realize that there is a character that is the same person.
Yeah. Well, the big thing is when later on, when he's asked to put the mask on, that is... I assume that the same mask from the first one. It's a very distinct.
It's the same actor.
Yeah, I'm not talking about the actor, but the mask as well. The big black balaclava with like the weird stitchings on it. That was basically that, and that's why I knew it wasn't. But I'm like, I really feel like they were trying to set up that they're tying in this first movie, which would have been heaps better than throwing in this Bogdan guy again. You don't even know his name, do you?
Bogdan.
Bogdan.
Yeah, it would have been nice to get a Max. Yeah, I would like that. But I was never thinking it was going to be Max.
Even after you saw the actor, but you didn't pick up on the mask thing, did you? No. Well, fair enough. You didn't pick up on that.
No. I honestly don't think many people would have picked up on that. It helps that you've seen him recently.
Maybe it's because I, when I was watching it, I had some subtitles on because there's a bit of Russian dialect in this film. So my subtitles just had everything. And when Hunt was on the phone here, it came up with woman's voice on the subtitle. I'm like, oh, okay. Is that what they're trying to go for here? But obviously it's not. They're talking to Bogdan.
Bogdan. Okay.
But now their real mission, they are in Ghost Protocol, and the mission is to get Hendrix. This guy's name is Hendrix, apparently.
Who's the bad guy?
Is that news to you?
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, it is. Are you sure it's Hendrix?
Yeah, Kurt Hendrix, a.k.a. Cobalt.
Cobalt.
Yeah, that's what it is, Cobalt. Yeah. But apparently it's Hendrix. Who knew?
Okay, but let's get to the Burj Khalifa.
Intercept the sale here in Dubai.
Yes.
You been to Dubai?
Yes.
On a layover flight.
Yes.
Me too.
I've been to Dubai airport.
I've been to Dubai for maybe an hour. So I got there.
I wish it was only an hour.
When I got there, it was like 7 o'clock at night. It was dark, but man, it felt like it was 50 degrees outside still.
Did you go outside?
Yeah. We had to do a bus transport to a different part of the airport. So we actually stepped outside for a little bit to get onto this bus.
I don't think I went outside.
So hot.
I think we had like a 5 hour wait there.
Yeah.
So I did a few laps of that place, but I mean, it's nice.
It's you're looking in this movie. I love how you get that contrast of how they're out in the desert and then you just see into that massive city. Yeah, that Burj Khalifa.
It's crazy.
Very big building.
Well, I mean, it's the tallest building in the world, obviously.
Yep.
I mean, are we going to jump straight to this?
Well, of course, we're at it.
He's doing his climbing up the wall with the sticky gloves.
Yeah.
Convenient they were brought along, I must say. But
convenient that one breaks.
It's so good, though.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
This scene is...
Obviously, it's Tom Cruise.
Yep. For real. Obviously, there's cables galore attached to him. He's in no danger of falling, but this is some dedicated stuff.
He loves his stunts. He wants to experience the world. He wants to go and say, I climbed the Burj Khalifa. I hung off a bloody a plane on its side. I flew an aeroplane. I hung at the bottom of another helicopter, whatever he's doing. All these stunts. I, you know, did a base jump. I did 60 base jumps, whatever he did. He just wants to have all this stuff on his...
Why not?
His resume. Why not?
Very well for it.
That's right.
But it's a great scene. I'm not sure what can be said. You know the saying. It's incredible.
There is. I love some of Simon Pegg's comedic lines here. So blue is glue. What's red? Dead. Just deadpan dead.
Yep. I thought it was... So after Cruise jumps down with the rope and falls into the room and they catch him and they're holding, they pull him back in. Simon Pegg walks in. He's like, you have no idea how hard that was.
Yeah. What I missed.
That was really funny.
But yeah, everything's stuffing up here. Obviously, he has to climb on the outside of the building to access the elevators. The mask machine doesn't work. We missed that extra scene where they pick up that other Russian guy for the Russian codes verification. You remember that? With the guy with his family?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that tacked on scene. Is it necessary?
No.
No.
In hindsight, no, it was not.
It was not at all.
They could have just bought someone and he could have said that same line like, all right, now you let my family go. Bang, dead.
Need that. It could have just been that guy.
Yeah, it would have been fine. Yeah, no, you're right.
But what did you think of this bait and switch back and forth?
Yeah, I did really like it. It was really complicated. There's a lot of moving parts. It's very clever. It's very meticulously planned. The technology of the, you know, Brandt blinking the photos into the briefcase into the other room, that was really good. I'm not sure that Léa Seydoux would be able to see it.
Yeah, I thought that was a bit of a cop-out.
We obviously can see it because we get this huge zoom in on his pupil. But yeah. But it was good though. I thought...
I liked it.
It was really, really good.
This whole Dubai portion of the movie is great. It's the standout of the film.
Undoubtedly.
Yeah.
But there's lots of issues. There's lots of fighting. There's
always issues.
Paula Patton kicks Léa Seydoux out the window.
Also super convenient that when Hunt gets in the elevator, reception goes out. Where's he going? He's gone. Come on, really? Seriously.
Yeah. Also really convenient that as he's about to apprehend the bad guy, the cop shows up just to make it some sort of race later.
Of course. But here's where we get some running Hunt. Man, I love this shot of him just running with the sandstorm chasing him behind him.
Great shot, yeah.
He's
got the goggles.
Yeah.
Puts the goggles on.
That was good. I didn't mind all this part when he gets in the car and he's just basically driving, going off the... Did you say blind?
Yeah.
I think he said blonde.
No, he's driving basically blind.
Yeah.
The sand.
He's got the sensor.
Why would I say he's driving blonde?
I don't know. You say some weird things sometimes.
I don't say driving blonde.
I think you said it twice in the last 10 seconds.
Oh, here we go.
But what I don't get here is he's got the tracker and he sets the car up so he gives a head-on collision. How'd the other guy know that he was there? He's already out of the car. When did he get out of the car?
I think it's implied he got out of the car after it crashed.
No way.
I honestly think that's what happened.
That is a joke.
No, because...
Doesn't he limp?
No, I think there's something you've forgotten. Airbags, all right? They will stop all injuries.
Airbag saves lives.
It stops not just lives, but injuries. He's fine. Like, if there's an airbag in that car, you can just walk away like it's nothing.
We'll get to that, won't we?
Before
we get moving on, I know where you're getting up to here, but he pulls the mask off and it's this guy. Now, does everyone in this world have these face masks? I thought this was an IMF thing. How come he has masks now?
I did not even realize that guy, the mask, wasn't the original bad guy.
Why did it have to be him?
I was just like, What? I thought that was the bad guy. He pulled off the mask. I was like, did I just miss some big reveal? I thought that was him.
No, he was he was impersonating the henchman.
Weird.
I guess he does it because they're after him. They're trying to capture him, but he wants to be the one to get the codes. So he needs to impersonate his henchmen so they're not actually going. They want to follow. Their mission is to follow him.
So they're not
going to,
like, kill him.
Yeah. Or capture him. They want to follow this guy to him.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's already him.
Yeah. But still, I don't understand how we get. Is face masks just something you have in every general store in this world?
I think in this world, it's everywhere.
Okay. Whatever.
Well, we saw in Mission Impossible 2, the bad guy had it.
Yeah, but that's preposterous.
In fairness, actually, let's talk about that. He at least was an IMF agent.
Yes, true.
Have access to that technology. This guy, no access.
No, there's nothing.
Just some guy. But no, we get the Brandt combat with Ethan here.
Oh, yeah, he sets up before when he takes down these
combat stuff. Like, it goes for like 5 seconds. Really good, though.
Very good.
Very good. It really was, though.
Yeah, it was.
Nice. I just wanted to put that out there.
Huh? You put it out there, and it's right.
I liked it. But honestly, when Brandt started telling his sob story, because I'd forgotten this whole thing.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, my God, I don't care. How does this affect the story? And then when it's like, that husband turned out to be Ethan Hunt, and I was like, oh.
Mic drop.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. You can say all that then.
Yes, you need to tell us this. But we also have on the side here that Hunt's gone to see Bogdan.
Yep.
And his mate, his arms dealer mate.
Yeah, conveniently the one who knows everything that Ethan needs to know. And conveniently is going to call the cop and tell the cop about it as well.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, there's a lot of side shit here that I'm just not buying. It's very convenient. I don't know. I feel like I'm speaking very negatively about this film. Like, I really still like this film.
Oh, this is a very good film.
Yeah, but not the best film in the franchise by a mile.
By a mile? I mean, it's not the best film. You don't need to insult it with by a mile. It's a good film.
Yeah, but the other, like, at least two so far for me are much better than this film.
All right, we'll get to that.
We will.
All right, let's get to the ball. And we get Paula Patton looking fine AF.
Oh, yeah. Stunning. But here we get Anil Kapoor.
Yes, from Slumdog Millionaire.
And 24.
Yeah, I know him from Slumdog Millionaire.
Me too. Hello, and welcome to Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Love it.
That's racist.
Why is that racist?
I don't know. I don't think we're allowed to
impersonate people that we're watching.
Impersonate Indians, are we? Isn't that
why are we not allowed to do that?
Haven't you heard all this Apu stuff from The Simpsons?
Oh my God.
I'm just saying, white people cannot impersonate Indians.
Next will be Australians can't impersonate Americans.
Oh well, we're fucked then.
Yeah, but this is Brandt's time to shine. He has this magnetic vest on that they were explaining before.
This is pretty stupid as well. Like, it's cool and everything, but to have a magnet that powerful to hold you up in a room that is full of other metal,
yeah.
Like, it would fuck every bit of equipment in there. And they're just like, no, this magnet will only target Brandt. Why?
Every movie as it goes along here is trying to get more outlandish and big in its missions and how they're going to do it. Like, this is basically like a more ridiculous, over-the-top version of the first Mission Impossible where he's hanging on the wires.
I mean, every Mission Impossible so far has had this trademark jump and suspend.
Yeah, but this one is like, it's a big scene about it. The other ones are just, yeah, he just quickly does it and then it moves on. But this is coupled with Paula Patton and Anil Kapoor with their back and forth. I thought this was okay. I think Anil Kapoor's quite funny in this. This playboy guy, he just thinks he's top shit. But the brief little stint he had,
he was okay. I mean, I generally like him in everything I've seen him in.
Which is one thing.
Which is Slumdog Millionaire. So, yeah. No, he's very likable.
He is. But, of course, we get these two villain idiots. I don't know. They're at the computer station setting off missiles.
The nukes get launched.
Yep.
So they're off and away.
I tell you, those are some of those boring scenes where they're standing going, route access to description and send files. I'm like, shut up. Just show us the scene where the missile fires.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, all these countdowns in this movie, though, it's like, oh, if we don't get there by this time, they can launch the nukes. And then they launch them and it's like,
we're still going.
Now, if we don't get there by this time, we won't be able to stop them. It's like, what? Really, the launching of the nuke really didn't really mean much.
No, you can still stop it.
Yeah. And Paula gets shot here.
Yeah, but nothing.
Yeah, she got shot and I was like, oh, shit, I don't remember that.
They tried to make
it
like...
The reason I don't remember it is because it means nothing.
They try to make
it
like, ooh, she's going to, what, bleed out of the hip? Mm. What do you think of this fight in the car place?
I mean, he's a pudgy old guy and Ethan Hunt's a superhero.
Yes.
How does this fight go on for so long?
Exactly. I thought he's so outmatched here.
And then he just like, kills himself.
Because he believes so much in this cause that, no, I don't even know what it
is. But it's not like that ends the ability. No. Like, Ethan just has to get down there and turn it off.
And how does he do that? With the very plausible getting in the car and dropping off the, I don't know, what the 10th story.
You die there, or you at least sustain serious injuries to your legs and face and chest. Everything.
Geez, he's lucky that there was an airbag in that car.
Clean as a whistle. Yep. And the cop's like, oh, we need to get you to the hospital. Why? Why do you need to get him to the hospital?
Did you not see what he just did?
He's clearly fine.
Just gets up, tears but a scratch. I don't know, this whole thing where he's trying to hit the button with his mission accomplished and it's not working because the others still have to finish off their part.
Yeah. I liked it because he said mission accomplished.
And didn't work.
And then made fun of that with Luther later on. It's like, you mean you actually said mission accomplished? God, that was more Schwarzenegger than Ving Rhames.
Well, your Ving Rhames impression is off. Maybe I've thrown you with this Aussie to American discussion. Of course, they complete the mission with a couple of seconds left.
Yep, as is the style.
Yes.
And we get this little scene outside where we get Brant coming clean with Ethan about the dead wife, and Ethan, he's just like, I already looked you up. It's like...
Yeah, he knows everything. Okay. Ethan Hunt knows all.
At what point in this day, this whole movie takes place in like 2 days, mind you, does this happen? It's like, yeah.
I'm assuming it happens between, obviously, when he tries to reveal him, he gets purposely taken in by Bogdan, and then maybe on the jet. Maybe he does it on the jet.
But these people are disavowed. Who is he looking? What system is he looking at?
Ethan Hunt.
He just hacks.
He knows
all. Hacks all the systems.
Yeah, he just knows. But we get a brief little glimpse of Jules.
Jules cameo.
Yep.
It's odd.
So she's still alive. He had to let her go.
Prequely near her.
Yeah.
Okay. Seems odd.
Yeah, you know, they exchange glances and, you know, a little smile. Nod.
Nice little
see you
touch.
Later.
Nice little touch.
Now see her for a couple movies now.
And we get a little tease for the next movie.
The Syndicate.
The Syndicate mention.
Yeah.
That was good.
Well, they're setting it up.
Good lead up to Rogue Nation.
But that is going to do it for Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol.
It is.
I'll go first this time.
Go for it.
I like this movie. It is quite enjoyable, very funny, good action set pieces. I like the chemistry and the banter between this team. I actually watched this twice this week in doing my notes. And I liked it both times. Like, it's a thoroughly enjoyable film. I don't feel its runtime. Like, it goes for over 2 hours. I didn't feel that. Just the problem is I don't care about the plot. I don't care about the villain at all. Worst villain in all 6 films. I feel nothing for this guy. I feel nothing for this henchman. I can't even remember their names. And we've just discussed this.
Cobalt.
I wish they had Lea Seydoux in it more. I think she was more of a memorable villain than the others.
Yeah, she is.
Oh, and one thing. I can't stand Tom Cruise's hair in this.
Tom Cruise's?
I said Tom Cruise.
I think you'll find you said Tom Cruise. Okay.
Be that as it may. Tom Cruise, I think his hair is a bit ridiculous here. It's not long enough to completely make fun of.
I actually agree with you. And I actually noticed it when I was watching. I was like, his hair is far too long here.
Yeah, but Mission Impossible 2's long hair is like funny long hair. This is like, you could have, this isn't funny. This is just like, it's annoying.
Yeah, it flows.
I think there's a lot of good to this film. I do think there's a lot of bad. Still, I give this 4 stars.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah, I do.
I honestly did not think you were going to.
It's nowhere near as good as Mission Impossible or Mission Impossible 3. We'll find out about the...
You gave both of them 4.5?
4.5 for those two. We'll find out about my ratings for the next two. But for me, this is the third best Mission Impossible film so far.
Yeah, I agree with you for pretty much everything you said. I think that this is a very enjoyable film. I think the action scenes are stunning. I think the whole spy stuff, all their gadgets, it all feels fresh and new and exciting. Simon Pegg is so needed as his comic relief. Cruise is always watchable. Like, Renner's okay. I certainly wasn't complaining when they got rid of him, though. We've talked about it, the issues, as you just said, Endo, the villains are terrible. But the good far outweighs the bad for me, and I also give this 4 stars, and this is also the third best.
Excellent. Okay, so we've got 2 more Mission Impossible films to go. I'm actually very curious about Rogue Nation. I don't know what I really think about that film.
From memory, I liked Ghost Protocol better than Rogue Nation.
Me too, but I feel like, I don't know, I feel like that might change time around.
I feel like I'm really excited to see the Syndicate villain again.
Yeah, that's going
to
be good. These next two films.
They're basically, very much one leads into the other, so.
But we're taking another week break off the Mission Impossible franchise, of course, because next week is our Q&A episode.
Of course. course. Can't wait to do that. Got heaps of great questions from you guys. So looking forward to getting into it.
Now, there is still time for anyone who hasn't put in their questions to go ahead. We really want to get as much questions as possible. We want to open up. We want to answer some of these questions that you guys just have on the tip of your tongue.
Yeah, don't be shy. Get out there. Let us know what you want to know. We've already got a lot of questions. So if you can't think of any, don't feel bad though.
And with that being said, thank you very much, patrons, once again. And we will see you next week for our Q&A episode.
Bye.